Yeah, so we're going to talk a little bit about Tzviras HaEmer, but we're going to start with the Parsha, and as you'll see, it's all together. The Gemara Mayin Katan, Daf Yudalid, says, Avel Aser Betaspeves. And Avel Rahman Al-Tzlan is not allowed to cut his hair, shave his beard. It's the Iser Taspeves. Where does it learn from? Pasuk in Parsha Shmini, when Nadav of you died, so Moshe Rabbeinu came and he said to Aaron and Elazar and Itamar, Rashechem al tifra'u. Don't let your hair grow. Tifra'u, it's a funny word. We don't really have a word in English for it. But the word pera means a growth of hair. So tifra'u means to let your hair grow. Rashechem al tifra'u, don't let your hair grow, meaning cut your hair. And Moshe Rabbeinu meant to be telling them, because you are Kahanim Gedolim, you're working in the Mikdash on this special day, the Chanukah Samishkan, the Shemini Lamiluim, so you're not allowed to be Noeg Avelis. And the way that so he said, Rashechem al tifro, don't let your hair grow. Uvigdechem al tifroimu, don't tear your clothes. And the Gemara says that from the instructions that Moshe Rabbeinu told Aaron and Elazar and Itamar, we learned the reverse about Hilchos Avelos, because he was telling them, don't be Avelim. So we learn from here that ordinary Avelim, tifro, let your hair grow. So Mikan, from here we see that Avel aser betaspeiros, that an Avel is not allowed to cut his hair. It would sound like, if we take the Gemara at face value, the iser taspeiros by an Avel is an iser deraisa, because the Gemara says we learn it from this pasuk. And now, just to jump ahead a little bit, and then we'll go back. The relevance to Inyan Adiyayma, of course, is that during Sfiras HaYimer, there's a minhag to be noeg avelos, and the two primary applications of this, the two that I mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch, is that we don't get married during this time, and we don't cut our hair during this time. So we're noeg the iser taspeires of an avel during Sfiras HaYimer. That Isser comes from Parsha Shmini, when Moshe Rabbeinu told Aaron and Elazar and Itamar, Rashechem al tifro, mikan la'avel sha'aser betaspeiros. So it sounds like that the Isser for an avel is deraisa. Now this, of course, I don't mean during Sfiras HaYimer. Sfiras HaYimer is just a minhag balma, but it's not, in fact, it's a minhag that doesn't even, it's not mentioned in the Talmud Bavli at all.
Even the first 7 days, they were expected to perform.
Right. Aaron, Elazar, and Itamar, there was no Shiva.
No, I mean, there was no nothing.
Right. So here is the Gemara said that we learn from here that an Isser Tasperius for an Agal. Gemara says.
You're saying that it's not in the Bavli Yerushalmi, so when did it start?
Oh, with the Sefirot HaOmer. The Sefirot HaOmer is first mentioned during the times of the Ga'inim. Now, that doesn't mean that it first started then. It could be that it's an older minhag. In fact, in the Ga'inim, you find the expression that at the time of the Mises Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara tells us, Gemara in Yavama Samach Beis, that Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim died Bein Pesach La'atzeres. It was during this time, during the time of Sefirot HaOmer, Bein Pesach La'atzeres. That's when the Talmidim Rabbi Akiva died. So I think in some Rishonim, or maybe Ga'inim, you find the expression that at Hiskinu Ba'isa Ha'es, that at that time when all the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died, Bein Pesach La'atzeres, so they were masakin to be noeg nihugei avelos, Bein Pesach La'atzeres. So it may be that the practice goes back all the way to the times of Chazal, to the times of Tanoim maybe, but it's not recorded anywhere. We don't have it in writing from the times of the Tanoim or the times of the Amorayim. But in the times of the Ga'inim already, it's recorded that this was already an accepted and established practice. And then it gets attributed to the Mises Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. So there's this Isser Taspeiros. So again, over there, the Rishonim talk about the Isser Nisuin, getting married, and the Isser Taspeiros of cutting hair. But the Isser Taspeiros, now we're going to go back first to a real Avelos. So the Gemara says that we learn from this pasuk, which would make it seem like it's an Isser Deraisa. That's very controversial, though, because the opinion of Tosfos is, and many Rishonim, that there is no such thing as Avelos Deraisa. The reason why Tosfos says that is because the Gemara in many places says that we're makel on Avelos because Avelos is only Drabanan. It's pretty clear. The Gemara sounds like, you know, Avelos is only Drabanan. So Tosfos says, there's no such thing as Avelos Deraisa. That which we have all sorts of practices for Avelim, and Avel sits shivi, doesn't sit on a regular chair, he sits on the floor, and Avel has things like Kfiyas HaMitya and Atifas HaReish, which we don't practice nowadays, but the Gemara talks about them, and an Avel is haircuts and laundry, Sheila Shalom, Divrei Torah, all of these halachas that the Gemara tells us about an Avel, Taisus holds they're all drabanan. The only thing that takes effect midei raisa when one's relative dies, according to Taisus, is an isser of achilas kachem, which is something that we're not really familiar with altogether. But the pasuk says, I mean, you know, it's not negated to our practice nowadays. But the pasuk says in Parshas Kisavai, talking about the Meiser Sheni, lo achalti va'oini mimenu, that I didn't eat it while I was in oinein. So the Gemara says, from there we learn out that an oinein is not allowed to eat Meiser Sheni, and from Meiser Sheni we learn to other kachim, to real kachim. So there's an isser of achilas kachim and achilas Meiser Sheni on the day that one's relative dies. But that isser isn't really so related to what we call avelus. That has nothing to do with mourning per se, or with, you know, showing our sadness for the, you know, or it's not the covet for the mace. It's really the covet for the kachim. It's that when the person, Rahman al-Aslan, is in this diminished state, that he's an avel, he just had the death of a relative, so he shouldn't eat kachim. Similar, in a way, to the idea of tumah, that when a person is tamei, so because he's in a diminished state in a certain sense, because he's tamei, so he's not allowed to eat kachim, that shows covet for the chashivas of the kachim. So when a person is an oinin also, or an avel, he's not allowed to eat kachim. That's the only halacha of avelos that applies midei raisa according to Taisus, the isser of achilas kachem. But all the practices of avelos that we have nowadays are all midei rabbanan. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says that there is an avelos de raisa. All the Gemara that talk about avelos being midei rabbanan, Taisus says, the Rambam says that Shiva is midei rabbanan, Shleishim is midei rabbanan, Yud Beis Chodesh is midei rabbanan, but avelos yoim echad is midei raisa. The day that the person passes away, that day the avelos is deraisa. Now, ironically, there's actually an additional condition. It's the day that it has to be the day that the person passes away. But as you may be familiar with, you know, if you've had the experience or observed it in others, the practices of avelos. Anytime, just think when you've been to a kvura in a Beis HaKvaris. So the general practice is that after the kvura, the Avel takes off his shoes and then walks through the Shura, and we wish him Hamakim Menachem Eschem. That's when the Avela starts. The Avela starts with the Stima Sagoyla, after the mace is buried, that's the beginning of Avelas. Before that time is what we call Aninus, that's the time that he's Pater Min HaMitzvahis, but he doesn't have the practices of Avelas. An Avel goes to the funeral in shoes. And he takes off his shoes later, after the kvura. So the avelos d'oraisa is only on the yom ha-kvura. Only on the yom ha-misa, because it's only one day mi d'oraisa. But the yom ha-misa, in many cases, is before the avelos starts, because the avelos doesn't start. Right? If a person dies, I mean, right now it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Realistically, if somebody, Rahman al-San, is going to die later this afternoon here in New York State, right, where we don't bury at night, so in all probability, the kvura is going to be tomorrow, which means that the avelos won't start until tomorrow afternoon. But tomorrow is not the yom ha-misa anymore. So in all such cases, which is a very, very typical scenario, in all such cases there is no avelos d'oraisa, because the avelos d'oraisa is only on the yom ha-misa, but it only starts after the kvura. So it'll only occur if the kvura happens on the yom ha-misa. If someone dies in the morning. At 7 in the morning, a person dies, and the Chevah Kedisha, you know, it's local, they do their thing right away, and then they're at the Beis HaKvaris by 12, and then, you know, they start the Shiva that day. That's a real avelos d'oraisa. It's not such a common scenario, especially outside of Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, they're much quicker with things. But here in New York, it's not such a common scenario, but it could happen. When that happens, there's an avelos d'oraisa. But in because you need two conditions. It has to be the Yom HaMisa and the Yom HaKvura. And then there's not too much left of the day. But for that small window from after the Kvura on the Yom HaMisa until the end of the day, that's when you have an Avelos D'oraisa. And that's what our Pasuk is talking about. Meaning when the Gemara says that we learn from our Pasuk, and the Gemara sounds like we're learning a Din D'oraisa, and according to the Rambam, yeah, it is a Din D'oraisa. But it's a very, very small Din D'oraisa. And it's to take a haircut and to shave for the couple of hours between the kvura and the end of the day on the Yom HaMisa.
If avelos doesn't start till after, why do they do kriya?
Before kriya is a different mitzvah. Kriya is independent of their bailus, right? Right. Two separate mitzvahs.
Is that the right?
Great question. It's the same pasuk. It's learned from here. B'gdeichem al tefroim, the Gemara says from here also that we learn kriya. But nevertheless, if I'm not mistaken, most Rishonim, the Ramban, I think, says that the Rabbi considers it deraisa. The Ramban says that it's not deraisa, it's derabanan. But kriya is a separate mitzvah. We're not really going to talk about it today.
So the only
deraisa
is this kachim issue, and according to
the
Ramban, in just a few hours.
Right. According to Tosfos, the only deraisa is achilas kachim on the Yom HaMisa. That's the whole Yom HaMisa, I think. And according to the Rambam, there's an avelus deraisa when the Yom HaMisa and the Yom HaKfura are the same day, then in that small window from the Kfura till the end of the day. So that's when you have this Isra Tasperis deraisa, according to the Rambam. That's the first halacha that the Gemara learns from here. Now, interestingly, on this halacha that the Isra Tasperes, there's a Taisvis on Daf Chav Gimel in Ma'ikatan. Excuse me. He says he wonders what's the halacha about during Aninus. In Oinin, like I said before, Oinin and Avel have two very different sets of rules. The halachas of sitting Shiva, of not wearing shoes, all of these only start after the kavur. That's avelus, not aninus. Then there's halachas of being patur min hamitzvahs. That's aninus, not avelus. Do any of the practices of avelus apply during aninus? So, for example, so Taisa on Ma'akot and Daf Chav Gimel is talking about taking a haircut. Seems a little bit of a funny case, right? Somebody, his brother just died. Let me go get a haircut.
No, but before Shiva starts.
I guess, right? To shave before Shiva starts. So that's the shayla. Would you be allowed? So Tosfos is discussing it. Tosfos, first he wants to bring a raya. I'll come back afterwards to what Tosfos' first raya was. Tosfos brought a raya, he pushed it off. And then Tosfos says, it does apply during Aninus. And what's my raya? It's because where did we learn the Isra from? From Moshe Rabbeinu's conversation with Aaron and Elazar and Itamar. What was their state at that time? Nadav ben Abihu just dropped dead. They were in him. And at that time, he said, Rasheichem al tefro. And from that, the Gemara learns that. But for everybody else, there's an Isra Tasperes. They weren't really Avelim in the sense that we use the word Avel. They were really in him because it was immediate. And so Taita says that it's clear from the Pasuk that the Isser Tasperis actually applies during Aninus. So even though the Isser of wearing shoes and sitting Shiva and all the other Hilchas Avelus do not apply during Aninus, but the Isser Tasperis does apply during Aninus, and it's because it's learned from the Pasuk about Aaron and Elazar and Isamar.
But there was no Kavura by then. They were burnt. Maybe there was no Kavura.
But there was something left.
They were, but
the Pasuk said that then Mishael and Al-Safin came and took them out of the Azara. So there was something left. Now there's a Machlaikis in the Gemara. What was left? Let's put that aside. But there was something. I mentioned that Tosfos had brought a Raya. Before this raya, Tosfos attempted to bring a different raya from a Tesefta or from a Brisa Maseches Machlokes. It's a very interesting halacha. I'll preface it with a B'didi Hava Uvda. I once had this Maisa. I never had a Avelus, Baruch Hashem. My parents, my relatives are all still alive, so long as Yarin. But I once had this Maisa in the 3 weeks. It was, and it's just a little funny, the background. This was the first summer after I got married. The previous many, many summers, I had always been in camp. I was a real camp person as a Bachar. I was always in camp. And in camp, you always knew that it was 3 weeks because there was programs, there was things, there was songs, there was banners, there was events, there were night activities, cantata. We always knew that we were in the 3 weeks, which is a nice thing. That means they were successful in creating a ruach. This was in Camp Maganav, by the way. They were successful in creating a ruach, and so I never had this problem that I forgot that it was the 3 weeks. But then, then I got married, and the first time after I got married, I was learning in Kollel. And I don't know if you know the rule. When you're in Kollel, you shave once a week. I was clean shaven at the time. But clean shaven for Kollel means Erev Shabbos you shave. I didn't shave the other days of the week. So Shivas of Atamas, let's say, was on Tuesday. Okay, I fasted. And then, you know, I was back in yeshiva Wednesday, Thursday. It was very much a regular week. On Friday afternoon, I was shaving. And I had shaven the right side of my face. And my wife came in and said, Ephraim, it's 3 weeks. You know how to shave now? Oh, no. So I called my rabbi, Rav Kalman Epstein. I said, I have an emergency. So, with a laugh, he said, no, it's okay. You could finish it off. So, you know, and for a long time, I didn't know what he was basing on. Was he like just, you know, having Rachmanis on me? Like, what was the real basis in halacha? But it turns out that it's a real halacha. There's a braisa that, it's not brought anywhere in the Talmud Bavli, but it's a braisa that this Taisus that I was just referring to, Taisus brings down, but so do all the Paisim, the Rambam, the Rosh, the Tor, and the Shulchan Aruch. They all bring this braisa that says, yeah, I'm sorry, I think you said that one last year. The braisa says that if somebody was Mamash Mar scenario, just a little more extreme. He was in the middle of a haircut, and then they came and they told him, Rahman al-San, your relative just died. So it says in the braisa, he's allowed to finish it up. He's allowed to get the second half of the haircut. So, you know, so that and that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch.
Did you say a reason why?
So we'll come to that in a moment. But first, that's where Rav Kalman told me that I could finish. I mean, the 3 weeks is, you know, or let's say now Sviras Oimer, this is modeled after real Avelis, but of course it's a lower level. And even in real Avelis, if somebody was in my situation, he's allowed to finish it up. So I was allowed to finish it up. Okay. So Yitz says because of Kavod HaBrius. That's exactly what it says in the Kesef Mishnah. The Rambam brings down this halacha that if a person finds that mid-haircut that he's an Avel, so he's allowed to finish it up. And the Kesef Mishnah says because of Kavod HaBrius. The problem is that, what's the halacha? There is a concept of Kavod HaBrius that sometimes allows us to take liberties, to violate Isurim. It's based on a Gemara in Brachas Daf Yotes. And the way the Gemara over there lays down the rules, the basic rule is that for an Isser Drabbanon, Kavod HaBrius is Doiche. Right? We've talked about this before in the Shir about somebody sitting with a talis and the talis is, you know, isn't kosher, he has to take it off. Or a Shatnis case. If you think of Shatnis, if somebody discovers, he's walking in the street and he discovers that his pants have Shatnis. So if it's Shatnis Drabbanon, then he's allowed to walk home because Kavod HaBrius is Doiche and it's a Drabbanon. If it's Shatnis Deiraisa, then he's not allowed to walk home because Kavod HaBrius is not Doiche and it's a Deiraisa.
What's the Drabbanon? What's the Deiraisa?
You know, what's an example of a Shatnis Drabbanon? Let's say it's a wool suit and there's linen there, but the linen is not woven in with what the Gemara calls a shoya tavi vinoi. So we're not going to go into that now, but if it's not really blended well, it's just sort of sitting there, then that would be shatnas d'rabbanon. So the rule is that kavod HaBrius is deichenes d'reis, it's not deichenes d'rabbanon. So here we just said
so
that...
you have to take off your pants and walk home.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Maybe that's why some lady... people without clothing in the subway system.
Maybe.
Wearing shotness.
Maybe, and they all found out that while they were in the subway. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that would be a hard situation, no doubt.
If you're carrying on Shabbos and you realize you're carrying, just keep on walking. You don't just stop. And
you mean because you don't want to stop and make a hanacha? You don't want to stop and make a hanacha.
So you keep on
okay,
going.
That's not related.
That's
just halacha yomis while we're having our shiur.
That's a derisa.
Yeah, but that's because you want to avoid making hanacha. But okay, that's really off topic. Let's not go there. Yeah, so the Kesef Mishnah says the reason is because of Kavod HaBrius. Kavod HaBrius is a good explanation for a din d'rabbanon. Okay, according to the Ram, according to let's say Taisus, Avelis is d'rabbanon. So he's in the middle of a haircut. They come and they tell him, Rahman al-San, his father died, so he's in Avelis, and it's a d'rabbanon. So then it makes sense, because I'll say you're allowed to finish the haircut because Kavod HaBrius is d'eich and it's a d'rabbanon. But the Karen Ayer asks Akasha, but according to the Rambam, that Avelus is deraisa. True, only a very small bit of Avelus, but which bit? The beginning. I mean, right at the beginning, the Yom Rishon is deraisa. So then, according to the Rambam, in this scenario, shouldn't he be dealing with an issa deraisa? That's one kasha. Now let's put that on hold. That's the Rambam. It becomes even worse in the Ravid. Now, which Ravid do I mean? So that's why I said we're putting it on hold, because there's another Gemara. We start off with this pasuk, Sheikhim al Tifra'u, that the Gemara says this is the makar for the halacha that an Ovel is not allowed to cut his hair. That's a Gemara in Daf Yudala. There's a Gemara in Daf Yutes, is all in Mayukatan. Mayukatan, the third paragraph of Mayukatan, that's where everything about Hilchas Avelus is found. In the Gemara in Daf Yutes, it says that there's another halacha that's learned from our pasuk, or Sheikhim al Tifra'u. That is the halacha of Shleishim. We know there's a concept of Avelus of Shleishim. There's different levels of Avelus. There's Shiva, there's Shleishim. Well, now we know there's a Yom Rishon, and then there's Shiva, and there's Shleishim, and there's Yud Beit Chodesh. The makor for the concept of Shleishim in Avelus is from this pasuk, Sheikhim al Tifra'u. How do you see? What does Sheikhim al Tifra'u have to do with the number 30? So the Gemara says, because Tifra'u is from the word Pera, right? That's the Sheirish, Pei Reish Ayin, Pera. Where else we have the word pera? By a nazir, gadol kadoshia, gadol pera saroshai. Just like by a nazir, the nazir is 30 days, meaning his growth of his hair, his pera is 30 days. So to over here, the Rashechem al Tifro is 30 days. And then the Gemara says, and how do you know by a nazir, by the way, that Stam Nazir is 30 days? Because it says, kadosh, yeah, but how do we know that Stam Nazir is shleishim? Kadosh, yeah. Gadol pera saroshe. The word yeh is begematria 30. This is a Gemara. The Gemara says, and this is a din d'oraisa, that the stam nazir shleishim yoyim is learned from the gematria of yeh. It's 30. From there we learn that it's 30 days. And then from there we learn the gzeres shava from nazirus to avelus, that the iser tasperis by an avel is also shleishim yoyim.
We also know peras from Esav. He was a para adam when he was born.
Okay, that's a different word. That's Peirish Aleph. I'm not mistaken.
Who
Paras Raisha? Right, right. That I think is the same Shavish. Paras Raisha Isha. It's interesting. The Gemara uses our pasuk as the makar for the Avelus of Shleishim Yoyim. The Rambam, when he brings down Avelus of Shleishim Yoyim, he pulls a surprise. He says that there's a din that if somebody's relative dies, he's an oval for 30 days. As we find by the Eishes Yifas Toyar, right, the woman that the Jewish soldiers take captive, it says over there, Uvachsa Esavia Ves Ima Yerach Yomim. She should cry for her parents for 30 days. The Rambam brings that pasuk as the makor to the idea that Avelus of Shleishim Yoyim. So the Ravid asks on the Rambam, why are you going making things up? First of all, you're making that up. The Gemara doesn't say that anywhere. And the Gemara does say the Makar, for the real Makar for the Avelus of Shleishim Yoyim is from our Pasuk, where Sheikh Amal Tifro, with the Gezer Shava, followed by the Gematria, right? That whole process teaches you that Avelus of Shleishim Yoyim. So why didn't the Rambam bring the right Makar? Why did he make up a different Makar? That's the Ravid's Kasha. But so the Mepharshim say that the Kasha on the Rambam is not really... The Ravid's right that the Rambam's Makar is not really the real Makar, but since it's all Din D'Rabbanan anyway, why am I saying it's a Din D'Rabbanan? Because the Rambam said there's only one day of Avelus Midereisa. Avelus Yom Rishon is Dereisa. So if we're talking about Shleishim, obviously that means it's only D'Rabbanan. All these practices are only in effect Midrabbanan. So the whole concept is only Midrabbanan. The Pasuk is just an Asmachta. So the Rambam really could have left it out altogether, right? He didn't have to bring you a Pasuk, but he wanted to bring us a Pasuk. Okay. To bring our pasuk would have been very ineffective because what? Shenemar or Sheikhim al Tifra'u? Where did he see anything from that about Avelus being Shleishim Yoyim? He would have had to bring the whole long piece of Gemara that it says over here al Tifra'u, and it says by Naziris Gadol Pera. And Naziris is 30 days because it says yeah, and yeah is Begamashria 30. He would have had to bring that whole long thing. So the Rambam the Rambam wanted to show you the idea that there's Avelus of Shleishim Yoyim. He brought a pasuk in the Torah that actually shows that very well. It says that here's somebody who's mourning a loss, and it says, give her 30 days to mourn her loss. It's not a din over there. I mean, this is a woman who was taken away. It's not real avelus. Nobody died. But it's just, you see the concept that 30 days is a time that the Torah considered appropriate to mourn a loss. So the Rambam says that if we have in halacha an inyan of avil shleshim yom, it's modeled after that. So as an asmachta ba'alma, it's actually a very good pasuk to bring. The Ravid, though, who said, you know, he yelled at the Rambam, why are you bringing that pasuk? That's the wrong pasuk. The Rambam brings a different pasuk. That's because the Ravid considered this to be a real drasha. The Ravid held this was a drasha gemura, that even though it's a gzeir shava with a gematria, this whole thing, it's a drasha gemura. The Rambam holds, the Ravid holds, that the Isser Tasperes for 30 days is a din deraisa. That if somebody's, even though other practices of Avelus may only be in effect for one day, mi deraisa, but the Isser cutting your hair is stronger than all the other Isserim, and that's in effect for 30 days. Cutting your hair, and also laundry. Laundry the Ravid throws in also. But these two things, the Ravid holds are midei raisa for 30 days. And sure. that's a chiddush of the Ravid. It's not accepted by the other Rishonim. It's not really, I don't think it's really given much weight in halach. It's because it's a das yachid. It's the Ravid shita. But, you know, it's nice, like l'shitasam. You know, the Rambam says something and the Ravid says, why are you bringing that drasha? You should bring a different drasha. And each one is going l'shitasam. The Rambam, who holds that Avelis is only midei raisa for one day, so the Shleishim is only Drabban, and the Pasuk is only in Esmachta, so he wasn't so medactic about which Pasuk to bring. The Ravid, though, holds that this Drasha is a Drasha Gemura. If it's a Drasha Gemura, so he says to the Rambam, you should bring the right Drasha, you shouldn't bring the wrong Drasha. So now, coming back to our guy in the barber chair, according to the Rambam, we said, Avelus of one day is Dei Raisa. Okay, so according to the Rambam, you know, you can argue about whether this guy in the barber chair, he was within that window or he wasn't within that window. But according to the Ravid, Avelus of Shleishim Yoim is Deiraisa, at least vis-a-vis the Isser Tasperes, the Isser of haircutting. So then a guy who's sitting in a barber chair and someone comes and tells him, your father just died, so he's definitely got an Isser Deiraisa. How could we justify that which Chazal say that you're allowed to continue the haircut? And you said, oh, because Kavod Abrius is right, that's what the Kasavisha says, Kavod Abrius is Matir, but Kavod Abrius is not Matir Nisa Deraisa. And according to the Ravid, this is certainly Nisa Deraisa. According to the Rambam, maybe, but according to the Ravid, for sure, it's Nisa Deraisa. So what do we do with that? So there's a very interesting chiddush in the Karen Ira.
Every hair that's cut is another Isser, or he was ready with the Isser, he already messed up. He was over the Isser, so let him finish.
Well, he wasn't over anything yet, right?
Why? Because he's not cutting.
He's in the middle of his
haircut. But that was before he knew, right? The Avelis.
Tell me when you find out.
I think so, yeah. So the Karen Ira has a very interesting chiddush. Says, you know, the halacha that we're familiar with, let's say from Hilchas Yom Kippur, that, you know, there's an Isser Rechitza on Hilchas Yom Kippur. What if somebody gets all muddy, right? Or you know, Meluchlach Betit Vitzaya is the Lashon of the Gemara. Then he's allowed to wash. Because even though there's an Isser Rechitza, and some Rishonim hold it's an Isser Deiraisa, but the Isser Rechitza on Yom Kippur, which by the way is also relevant to Avelus, Avelus also has an Isser Rechitza, the Isser is for right, the, okay, not for now. The Isser is a Rechitza L'Shem Tainug, for enjoyment, right? The pleasure of being in the water, that's what they assert. If you're not doing it l'shem tainug, if you're just doing it for a utilitarian reason, to get off the mud, then that doesn't go into this rechitza. So the Karen Ayra suggests that maybe there's a similar gedder to the Isser haircuts. The Isser haircuts is because if you're doing it, you're doing something to make yourself look good, to look, you know, look elegant, that's the Isser. When you're doing it l'shem noi, to look elegant, to look beautiful, what if you're doing it just to take off a nivul or something disgusting, right? Meaning here you have a head that's half shaven. Mm-hmm. So that's comparable to having mud on your leg. There you're not washing to feel good, you're just washing to get off the mud. Here you're not cutting to look good, you're just cutting to get rid of, so that you shouldn't look like a clown. So that's not included in the Isser Tasperes. That's what he says is maybe the explanation for why, according to the Ravid at least, maybe also the Rambam, in Taisus, you don't need this. In Taisus, it's all very straightforward. The whole is an Isser Drabbanon, Kavod Abrius, is Deichad Isser Drabbanon. But according to these other Rishonim, you need a more creative explanation. So that's what the Ravid, that's what this Karen Ayra is offering. Now, there's one more detail about the regular Avelis before we come back to Sfira. We said that it applies for 30 days, right? The Gemara learns from this pasuk of Sheikh Amal-Tifro that it applies for 30 days. Halacha l'maisa, you may be familiar, that it's a little more complicated than that. For Shar Krevim, it's 30 days. Alav Aval Ima, if somebody is Rahman al-San, an Avel for a parent, so we know the Avelis is longer than the Avelis is Yud Beis Chodesh. So what's the halacha of Tasperis of cutting hair? So it's not, the shear is not 30 days. The shear is ad sheyigaru boi chaveirav, until people yell at him. Meaning until he's getting comments from friends that you don't look good, your hair is too long, and then he's allowed to cut his hair. And then the Ramah adds the following words. The shear ga'ara shloisha chadashim. That the shear of ga'ara, the when do we consider that it's ga'ara worthy, it's yell worthy, 3 months. Simple reading of the Ramah would sound like, when are you allowed to cut your hair? After 3 months. Rabbi Kimager says, that's not what it means. It means that if nobody speaks up, nobody wants your long hair. You look great in long hair. So there's no yigiru by chaveirav. If you're not getting any ga'aris from anybody, so when could you assume on your own that, yeah, my hair is long enough? That's shloisha chadashim. Shloisha chadashim is an automatic ga'ara. It's like that counts as a ga'ara. But a real ga'ara is a ga'ara even before 3 months. So if earlier on people say, you know, your hair is too long, then you're allowed to cut your hair even before 3 months.
So if you hadn't gotten a haircut,
yeah,
right, in almost 12 weeks, and then yeah, you're an Avel, next day you should be able to...
Next day, meaning, that's before 30 days. So this is a great shayla. There's a mistake, and it's a widespread mistake, and it's based on a Mishnah Berurah, but it's a misprint in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah is a Siman Tav Kuf Mem Ches. The Mishnah Berurah in all the standard editions of the Mishnah Berurah, meaning, for most of us, our Bar Mitzvah set, not your Bar Mitzvah set, Aaron, but for most of us, the Bar Mitzvah set that we got of the Mishnah Berurah, it says in Siman Tav Kuf Mem Ches that if someone tells you that your hair is too long, then it's mutter afilu b'seich shleishim yoyim, even within 30 days. That's like what you were saying. If your hair is too long, it doesn't matter when it is. Even if it's b'seich shleishim yoyim, this is a mistake. That's what it says.
Like showering during the avelos. If someone tells you you smell, you take a shower or something like that. Isn't there something...
That may be, but that over there is not because of the guy telling. It's not over there. There's not a halacha of yigur or bechaver. There's a halacha of istanis. That nowadays we have different standards. The Chazal said that an istanis is allowed to shower during avelos, and maybe now in America we have such different standards of hygiene that we're all considered an istanis, like our Mangam Liel.
I think I mentioned
okay.
For an istanis, you don't need somebody else to tell you. That's
right,
your own feeling.
Right. That's your own feeling. So in the Mishnah Berurah it says b'seich shleishim yoyim, within 30 days. But it's a mistake. And in all the new editions of the Mishnah Berurah that have been published in the last, I don't know exactly when, but the last 20 years for sure, maybe earlier, they changed it. And it doesn't say b'seich shleishim yoyim, it says b'seif shleishim yoyim. And the idea is this, that Chazal said that if a person is an avel for Rahman al-Islam, you know, a brother, a sister, a spouse, or Rahman al-Islam, a child, so then you're not allowed to cut your hair for 30 days. And that's based on this positive of Sheikh Amalta Frogs, they're shoved with Parah, with Nazir, 30 days. Val ova val imoy ash yigru by chaveirav. Now, that val ova val imoy ash yigru by chaveirav is coming lahachmir or lahakel? Of course it's only coming lahachmir, right? Ova val imoy is only more chamer than the other relatives. So it can't mean that Yigru by Chaveirav is Matir within the 30 days, because that would be making the Avel al-Avav al-Imai less Chamer than the Avel al-Shar Krevim. But we know that's never true, right? And so many examples in Hilchos Avelos, that al-Avav al-Imai is a greater Avelos than on Shar Krevim. So obviously the Ash Yigru by Chaveirav has to mean only from day 30 and on. So, again, if you take in your day in Hilchos Avelos, in Sim Shin Sadi, Rabbi Kiveger points this out, where the Ramah says that the Shir Ga'ar is Shloisha Chadashim, Rabbi Kiveger says, but that's only if nobody speaks up. But if there is a Ga'ar is effective starting from day 30, but not before day 30. And he said, I think Rabbi Kivaker speaks out because the Yigru Rabbi Chaverov is not coming to be Makel on Ovav Imoy more than Shaar Kreidim. So it can only be starting from day 30. But there's this unfortunate mistake that fell into the Mishnah Berurahs in the standard editions that were around for 100 years, and it says that it's Mutter B'Seich Shleishim Yoyim. But again, I don't know if they changed it just because it was obviously an error, or if they changed it because they actually found that in the first edition it's written differently. I don't know. All I know is that in the new Mishnah Berurahs, and I don't mean just the Dirshu, you know, even you know, the Mishnah Berurahs from at least 20 years ago, it says B'Seif Shleishim Yayim, but the older ones, again, my set from my bar mitzvah, it says B'Seif Shleishim Yayim. But that's a mistake.
Are there other mistakes with it?
Are there other mistakes? I'm sure there are. All Svarim have printing errors. But, you know, we usually, in every sefer, certainly the older ones, there are typos. And newer editions are always full of corrections. But it's not so common that you have one that's so, I mean, this is a very unfortunate. No, I'm saying it really gives the wrong halacha.
Right.
Very blatantly gives the wrong halacha. Okay. Tough kuf mem ches. What's it do now? Hilchas Avelis is in Yeridaya. There's no Mishnah Berurah on Hilchas Avelis, but this simin is in Hilchas Chol HaMoed, and it's about what happens if somebody has an Avelis that occurs on Chol HaMoed, which is a complicated situation. You know, we probably many of you are familiar that you know this Chol HaMoed, the Willigs, Chava Willig Levy was nifter, so there, right? There was a Levaya on Chol HaMoed, and then the Avelos started, the Shiva started Matzah Yontif. Like they're still in Shiva now.
Was there a Hespeth?
No, it was such a beautiful Levaya, such a Kiddush Hashem. They were Rav Mordechai Willig Shnita, he got up and he said that he remembers that their father used to say over that he was very moved by a story he heard about the Vilna Gaon. That he heard that when he received news about somebody passing away, somebody in the family, I don't remember if he said the details of the story, somebody was nifter, he received news during Yom Tif, and he was completely unaffected. It looked like he didn't care. It didn't have any reishim on him. And then after Yom Tif, as soon as Yom Tif was over, he broke down crying, and he said, and our father always used to say over the story, he was very moved by the story. So obviously we are going to try our best to follow those instructions, and we're just going to say Tehillim. And all the relatives, you know, family members came up one at a time. Each one said a kapitel of Tehillim, and that was actually that same day. A few hours later. It was Eretz Yisrael Levi. I got up at 4 in the morning to be mishtatz in the Levaya for Rebbetzin and Beruya David, and also it was the same thing. This is obviously, you know, somebody with a major impact on Chinuch Banos in America. Everybody's daughters are educated by Talmidos and Talmidos of hers. The Levaya was also, you know, three Kapitel of Tehillim, I think, followed Minig Yushalayim. There was a Mishnah and a Kaddish, the Zehu. Nobody said a word. And then at the end of Shiva, or maybe. Maybe not at the end of Shiva because it's still Nisan. I don't know when it's going to be, but you know, at a later date they'll be Hespedim. So where were we? The Yeah. So this is Simen Tavkuf Mem Ches. There's a simen devoted to Avelis B'Chol HaMoed. So that's where it comes up. That there's some discussion of Hilchos Avelis over there in Aruch Chaim. So that's where you have this Mishnah Berurah. I don't remember, it might be Sifkat and Lamed Dalid, but I'm not sure. Okay, now, so let's put aside the regular Avelis, you know, the Issur Tesperis of an Avel. Now let's come to Binyan Adyayim, the Sfiras HaOmer. The Shulchan Aruch says that we don't get haircuts during Sfiras HaOmer. Which part of Sfiras HaOmer? As we know, there's different Minhagim, but certain days, certain weeks of Sfiras HaOmer, we don't get haircuts. And we don't get married. Those are the two halachas of Sfira that are mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch. Now, the aspect of Sfira that I think is the biggest impact on people's lives nowadays is something else, and that is the music. You'll be very hard-pressed to find the makor for the Isser music. In Rishonim, As far as I know, the only serum that I mentioned are the two that I just mentioned. Getting married and cutting hair. That's what's mentioned. Then in Achronim, the Magen Avraham, I think, mentions that there's an Isser of Rikudim U'Mechayles. That means dancing. Both of those words mean dancing. Rikudim U'Mechayles means dancing. You're not allowed to have dancing. The context is that he's talking about, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to get married, Nisuin. So he says, oh, you're not allowed to get married, but you're allowed to get engaged. Shaduchim, you're allowed, and you're allowed to make a suda, l'kavod that, if you're right, that's avart. You're allowed to make a suda, l'kavod the shaduchim. But he says, but you have to make sure not to dance, because there's no dancing during Svira. V'kol shekein l'dvar rishus, there's certainly no dancing during Svira. That's what the Magen Avraham says. And that's the makar for the Isser of dancing. Now, the Isser of music is not mentioned anywhere. Not in the Magen Avraham, not in the Prima Gadim, the other parts that talk about the dancing. Even the Mishnah Berurah doesn't say a word about music. And the reason is obvious, because the whole concept was pretty foreign until modern times. You know, nowadays we walk around with music, like music is a big part of our lives. Once upon a time, music meant, if you went to a concert, performers would come to town for some kind of a special event and they would, put on a symphony. But otherwise, people didn't have music. So it was hardly relevant to talk about not listening to music. That just wasn't a thing that people did. But in the 20th century, when, with tapes, I guess, music became a part of people's lives, this mitzvah that you could just turn on music. So the Pesachim of the 20th century, and I don't know who to point to, I don't know who in particular was, like if there's someone that, that made this decision, or was just, maybe was uniformly accepted, it was considered a Dever Pashut. But it was accepted in the 20th century that if you're not allowed to dance, then you're not allowed to listen to music either. That goes together with Rikudim
U'Mechayles.
Can a
mavel dance? No, I
don't think so.
If it's an immediate bar brother or...
You mean for a bar chasana?
Yeah.
That's a complicated shayla. It's a good shayla, but not for now. That whenever, it's very sad whenever that happens, but when it does, it needs a shayla's chacham.
One is learned from the other, Sphira and Avedus.
True, right. Sphira is learned from there, right. But that's a very unique situation when somebody's at his own wedding or a child's wedding. Right. yeah, but I can't answer that, Shiloh.
Okay. I'll ask somebody else.
Okay. So music, right? Music, the Pesachim decided that if it's usher to dance, so it's usher to, to have music also. But it's interesting that the dancing is more the primary Isser, and music is sort of learned from there or as an extension of that. The reason why I say it's interesting is because you'll sometimes see, and I've seen this, by somebody makes a vart, which you're allowed to make. A vart, there's nothing wrong. It says Mefurish. Magen Avraham says you're allowed to make a vart during Sefiras HaYomer. Someone's making a vart during Sefiras HaYomer, so they'll say, oh, it's during Sefira, no music. Everybody knows there's no music during Sefira, so there won't be music. So the chassan and his friends will just dance a rikud. Not allowed to do that.
That's wrong.
Right, there's no dancing. If there's no music, culture can't, there's no dancing. Dancing is the ikar isser. Even though, like I said, even dancing is not one of the isurim that's mentioned in the Rishonim. But the Magen Avraham already said there's no dancing. In the 20th century, it was extended to include music. Now, it's a good svar. I'm not saying that therefore it's not such a real isser. No, it makes sense that it should be, go into the same category as dancing. But it's learned from dancing. Dancing is more primary in the isser than music is. So out of art, there should not be, if it's of art during Sfira, this coming Sunday I'm going to be out of art. It's middle of Sfira according to all of the Minhagim. Somebody asked me about making a vart, and I said that there should be no music and no dancing.
What's the sin of falling from the first part and the second part?
Yeah, so that's
next week's year.
I think you might be right. I think it might talk to me next week's year. At some point during Sphere, we'll have a long discussion about that. So. Okay, so you have these are the Yisurim by Sfira. Oh, there's what about, so I hear, I'm telling you that by somebody asked me about making a vart, I said, yeah, but no dancing. A few days ago, in my house, we, at first I thought maybe made a mistake. It happened without really thinking about it. But one of my sons was making a siyum. It was a couple of days after Yom Tov. One of my sons he made a siyum on a masechta. And whenever someone in the family makes a siyum, so we dance, we sing a dance. He makes a siyum, and we sing a dance together, some of the Mazel Tov, and a few other songs that we always sing. So we did this, and this was, what day was this? I think it was this past Sunday. Now, this past Sunday was not in Sfira according to all the different shittas, but we are Naik Sfira, what people call the first half, from the beginning until Lag Bayomer, that's when we're Naik Sfira. So we were being that's when we're Naik Avelis. We were being Naik Avelis, but we were making a siyum, and without really thinking about it, we got up and started dancing, and then afterwards, thinking, wait, were we allowed to do that? I just told somebody, he's not allowed to dance by a vart. So I saw afterwards that the Prima Gadim, on this Magen Avraham, where the Magen Avraham says that if you make a Sudas Shiduchim, you're not allowed to dance. And the Prima Gadim says that he thinks that may be... Well, let me just back up a step. B'shas Maisa, it wasn't that I didn't think about it at all. B'shas Maisa, I thought to myself, this is a Siyam. Now, during the 9 days, you're not allowed to have Fleishigs, but if somebody makes a Siyam, so that's Matur the Fleishigs. So over here, the siyum should be matter the dancing. That was my thought, b'shas ma'isa. Then after that, I think to myself, but wait, but by a vart we don't. Let's see if I could double check this better. So I saw just today that the Prima Gadim writes that he says if you read very carefully in the Magen Avraham, he's going on the words of the Shulchan Aruch where it says we don't get married, no nisuin. The Magen Avraham says, but you're allowed to do a sudas erisin, v'kol shekein a sudas shiduchim. I'm sorry, he didn't say v'kol shekein. He says, you're allowed to do a sudas erisin and a sudas shiduchim. And then he says, and by the sudas shiduchim, there shouldn't be rikudim u'mechayleis, no dancing. So the Prima Gadim says, it sounds like that only by the shiduchim, no dancing, but by a sudas erisin, yes, dancing. Now, what's erisin? Erisin, we don't really have this nowadays, right? People use the word erisin to mean engagement, but erisin in halacha really means when you say harei mekudeshesli and you give a ring, but it's not done at the chasana. It used to be done a year before the chasana. That's the erisin. And the Prima Gadim says that what it sounds like from the Magen Avraham is that by a sudas shiduchim, he wasn't being matir rikudim u'mechayleis, but he doesn't say that about the sudas erisin. It sounds like by a sudas erisin, he would be matir rikudim u'mechayleis. Why? Because that's a sudas mitzvah. Shaduchim is just, it's a nice simcha, it's a happy occasion. It's a good reason to make a suda, but nothing's really happening. In halacha, nothing's really happening at that time. So we don't call that a sudas mitzvah. But a sudas erisin is a sudas mitzvah, so maybe then we could be matir the rechudim u'mechayleis. And he says, and that's what it sounds like in the careful reading of the Magen Avraham. If that's true, then I think we were justified dancing at the siyum. Siyum is also a sudas mitzvah, right? On Erev Pesach, we're matzah the Tanis Becharim with the siyum. During the 9 days, we're matzah fleishigs with the siyum. We consider it a real sudas mitzvah. So if it's a real sudas mitzvah, then we should be allowed to dance also. It might be a good eitzah if somebody's making a vart and they want to have, if they want to have dancing, make a siyum. Yeah, if the chassan has nothing else to do, then finish a masechta.
You can't compare siyum to an erisin. Siyum is a completion. You completed it.
Right.
You accomplished. Mm-hmm. With nisuin, it's a work in progress. You don't know.
That's true.
You don't know what's going to happen.
That's true. That's a very good ha'ara. That's a very nice distinction between the two. That's a good ha'ara. That's machlokes the Rambam and the Rosh. The Rambam considers it a mitzvah, and the Rosh says no, it's not a mitzvah. So yeah, this Prima Gadim maybe is only going like the Rambam, not like the Rosh. It's a good hara, which might make a seam even better, because a seam is probably a sudas mitzvah of kuli alma. Okay, now a last hara. There's this last hara is very negay halacha l'mais. This is a chiddush. I mean, it's my chiddush. I just mean a chiddush in that it's something that a lot of people might not know. But there's negei halacha lemaisa, not every year, but we do have it this year. The Beis Yosef brings down that some people go and take a haircut on Rosh Chodesh Iyar. V'tos hu biyadam, they're making a big mistake.
Tomorrow. Over Friday.
Friday Shabbos, right. He says they're making a big mistake. Why? He says because even though it is brought down, he says there are sources in Rishonim that talk about taking a haircut on Rosh Chodesh. That's, and here we're going to touch just very briefly, Yitz, on what you were bringing up before. That's because there are different minhagim about when you know Yigavelis. And the Beis Yosef, he doesn't mention the minhag Ashkenaz of starting after Rosh Chodesh and going till Shavuos. But he says that there were some people that have the minhag of being know Yigavelis the whole 7 weeks of Sfira, but they leave out Rosh Chodesh. That's a legitimate minhag. But the minhag that we have, and he's talking for the Svaradim, that they're noyga velos until the 34th day of the Omer, and then they stop. He says, in that minhag, there is no heter to go cut your hair on Rosh Chodesh Iyar. That's smack in the middle of the 5 weeks or so, four and a half weeks of Avelos. You can't take a break for the days of Rosh Chodesh. So he says it brings down that some people thought you could take a break for the days of Rosh Chodesh, but it's, at least within our minhag, he says it's incorrect. Comes along the Bach and he says, well, that's true. It's incorrect. People that think you're allowed to take a haircut just because of Rosh Chodesh, that's incorrect. But there's something close to that which actually is correct. And that is when Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos. Mm. When Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, so then you have a Tosefes Simcha. It's an accumulation of Simcha. It's not just an ordinary Rosh Chodesh, it's also Shabbos. It's not just an ordinary Shabbos, it's also Rosh Chodesh. Now, the Bach is not talking about cutting hair. He's actually talking about getting married. He said, on that Shabbos, you're allowed to get married. Now, remember, in Poland, it was very common to get married on Shabbos, that Friday night. That's when they made their weddings in Poland. Certainly, in the Bach is writing in the 1500s, 1600s, that was a very widespread minhag. So the Bach says that you can't get married, last Shabbos or following Shabbos, during Sfira, you're not allowed to get married, even if it's Shabbos. But if it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, then you're allowed to get married. Because that's a Tosefes Simcha. Now, that's not going to be negeah for us because we don't get married on Shabbos, right? Nowadays in America, nobody does that. We don't get married on Shabbos.
Even the second day?
Right, second day Rosh Chodesh is also fine, yes. But it's not going to be negeah for getting married. But Zokta Mishneh Brura and others before him also, it's negeah for haircuts and shaving. That if Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh fall out together, obviously you're not shaving on Shabbos, but every Shabbos you shave L'Kavod Shabbos, right? You shave Friday afternoon L'Kavod Shabbos. During Sfira, you're not allowed to do that. So meaning in ordinary Shabbos, just because it's Shabbos, but it's Sfira, you're not allowed to shave L'Kavod Shabbos. Just because it's Rosh Chodesh, that doesn't help. The Beis Yosef already told us, you're not allowed to shave L'Kavod Rosh Chodesh. But if it's going to be Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh together, you're allowed to shave L'Kavod that day. Meaning the day before, now this Shabbos is Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, so on Friday, you'd be allowed to shave, not because Friday is Rosh Chodesh, but because Shabbos is going to be Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, so you're allowed, hold on a second. So on Shabbos, on Friday, you're allowed to shave, L'Kavod Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. Now that's brought down in the Mishneh Berurah, that's halacha l'maisa, that even people that are noyeg that during this part of Sfira, we don't shave, we don't cut our hair, but this Friday, you're allowed to shave or cut your hair, L'Kavod Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. But Yandi is being ma'irer, but there's a different problem here. We're saying it's mutter because Shabbos is going to be Rosh Chodesh. But Friday is also Rosh Chodesh. Okay, so what's wrong with that? Well,
you're doing it for the first day, for Friday.
Okay, I shave on Friday, so it looks more like L'Kavod Shabbos. What's the problem? Why do I say it's a problem that Friday is also Rosh Chodesh? Because ordinarily, we don't shave on Rosh Chodesh. Now, this is not such a widespread or well-known halacha, which is okay. It's not, I don't want to use the word real halacha, but it's not a halacha based on any Talmudic sources. It's based on the Tzavas of Yehuda HaChassid. I think we've mentioned this before in the Shir, the idea that there's this very, very unusual document called the Tzavas of Yehuda HaChassid, where Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid left a last will and testament in which he said a whole bunch of things that he doesn't want you to do that really have no basis in halachic sources. He was he's called Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. He was from the Hasidei Ashkenaz, and just to put this in perspective, where it has nothing to do with the Hasidim you know, of the Talmidei HaBaal Shem Tov, what we call the Hasidic movement of today. But about 500 years earlier in Germany, there was a movement called the Hasidei Ashkenaz. They were involved in a lot of Kabbalistic practices. And Rabbi Yehuda Chatzis was one of their main leaders. And based on Kabbalistic ideas, he wrote a whole bunch of things that he said that people shouldn't do. Right? Some of them made a very, very big impact on society that everybody is makbid on, at least to some degree or another, like getting married to somebody with the same name as a parent, right? That is a very well-known idea. It's not a halacha. It doesn't come from any halachic sources. It comes from the Tzavos Yehuda Chasid. One of the things that he says over there is that you're not allowed to cut your hair on Rosh Chodesh. No haircuts, no shaving on Rosh Chodesh. Now, do you have to follow that? Do you not have to follow that? So, you know, in some circles, certainly it became, this Tzavos Yehuda Chasid became very, very widely accepted. It became very widespread. There certain are, certain parts people never heard of, like, but this is something.
Maybe he didn't mean to say it if it's Shabbos, if the next day is Shabbos.
So many Paiskim say that even though usually you should abstain from shaving on Rosh Chodesh, but in a situation like this where it's really, it's like a once in a, you know, it's a very rare opportunity. It's the middle of Svira. You can't shave during Svira. You can't shave the day before. You can't shave after. But just this day, there's an unusual collection of circumstances that makes a mutter. So under these circumstances, you don't have to worry about the Tzavos Yehuda Chasid. If I'm not mistaken, Rav Moshe Feinstein, not in the tshuva, but he's quoted as having said that for this Rav Yehuda Chasid wouldn't mind. You know, now this really goes together with the more broad shaila of how seriously do we take all of the teachings.
Whatever that quote was, meaning since there's like an extra reason.
Right.
The shame on Rosh Chodesh. Why is it changed?
So, I think what it's really coming from is that I think what Ramesh was saying is that we're not really so makbid on the Tzavos Yehuda Chasid. And yeah, when you could, okay, but it's not such a, you know, there's a tshuva in the Chassam Sefer. By the way, Ramesh Feinstein, his son-in-law was Ramesh Tendler. Okay, maybe Ramesh David Tendler. Maybe he held it wasn't a problem because of the second name. Many places say that, but they both went by Moshe. There's a tshuva in the Chassam Sofer about this.
They asked the Shaila.
Who should he ask? Obviously, Moshe can decide what he thinks is the right halacha. The Chassam Sofer has a tshuva on the topic where he writes a very interesting lashon. About the Tzavos Yehuda Chasid, he says deloy kapid loy kapdinan bay, that it doesn't matter so much if you're not so makbid. If you're makbid, then it matters. It's a little bit of a cryptic idea. Right. The bottom line is, in some circles,
you look unruly. That's an additional reason.
How about people shave on Lag BaOmer?
Right. There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay, that's their experience. Why are we not makbid and on Rosh Chodesh during Svira we are makbid?
Okay, why Lag BaOmer is an exception, we're going to save for the shiur, which next might week. Be next week. You called it for next week's shiur when we're talking about the different menhagim. But the bottom line is that in some circles, this practice, you know, all the practices of Rav Yehuda Chasid, or many of them, including this one, not shaving on Rosh Chodesh, are considered very, very chamar. And they'll, you know, they'll say that if he said that you can't, so it's dangerous. The shadim, the ruchei tzrois. If it's dangerous, it's dangerous. If that's your attitude, then you won't shave this Friday either. If somebody is not so makbid, he does it because it's like it's on the books, it's brought down in some paiskim, so he doesn't shave, but doesn't consider it like it's that kind of thing. So then I think, you know, then you can rely on, like Rav Moshe said, that in circumstances like this, you don't have to be makbid. So I think by Chassidim, they won't take haircuts this Friday. But and that might be true by the Sephardim also. I don't know. Again, by the Sephardim, it could be that even though Rav Yehuda Chasid is Ashkenazi, but it's Kabbalistic. So it could be that by the Sephardim that carries a lot of weight. So I don't really know what the minhag would be over there. But in many circles, the minhag would be that this Friday you're allowed to shave. That's what I would tell people again. Unless you know that you're from a circle that is very makbid on Tzavos Yehuda Chasid, this Friday because it's Erev Shabbos Rishchodesh. There's a special heter that you're allowed to take a haircut or shave.
Where was it all brought down?